Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning, open the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Looking at this final chapter that Paul writes to Timothy, but also as his final words that he is writing and giving instruction on. And so we're looking in this passage from verses 1 through 8. And so we're going to read this passage together. And if you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen. But we're going to read this together. So as I read, you read out loud as well with me. And we'll read verses 1 through 8. Let's begin. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you just help us as we look at this morning. You just speak to our hearts, Lord, and just help us to focus on you. And Lord, as already has been mentioned, that we would just set aside, Lord, the cares and distractions of this past week. And Lord, as we begin a new week, Lord, there might be someone that's worried or uncertain about what's going to happen in the future or whatever it might be. But Father, I pray that you just help us this morning just to focus on you and what you have for us today. And that, Lord, that your will be done in each of our lives. And so, Father, just use the message to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the past couple weeks we've been looking at this chapter as Paul begins these final words of encouragement and advice to Timothy. And he talks about how important this is because the finality of what he speaks of. There is a final judge. Jesus Christ is the final judge. And each of us are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And we will all have to give an account of what we have done. If a person does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. And they will be judged of their works and then cast into the lake of fire. And so there is a finality here that Paul is speaking of. And again, this is something that every person is going to stand before at this final judgment. But then he gives a charge to the preacher in verse number 2. As he's talking to Timothy, he gives this charge to the preacher to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we looked last week at the charge to the preacher, and which, again, really is a charge to me, but it's also something that the church needs to understand. People in the church need to understand what the responsibility of the preacher is. But I told you, I said, now, make sure you're back this week because the next verses deal with the listeners, right? So in verses 3 and 4, we find the charge to the church. The charge to the church or the charge to those who are listening. Now, you say, well, I don't see that because Paul is writing to Timothy. Well, that's true. Paul is writing to Timothy and he gives this charge. But verse number 2 specifically is for the preacher and what the preacher is supposed to be doing. But verses 3 and 4 deal with those who are listening. So even though Paul is not specifically writing to a church or a group of people, as he's specifically writing to Timothy, we do find that he speaks of those who are listening, right? So watch what he says in verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they, who is the they? Those who are listening, right? He's just said in verse number 2, preach the word, right? This is what you need to do, Timothy. But he says this is why. For the time will come when they, those who are listening, the hearers, will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So he says, Timothy, I'm telling you, I'm giving you this charge to preach the word, and this is the responsibility you have, but here's why. He says, I'm giving you this instruction, I'm giving you this charge to preach the word, because those who are listening, they have a responsibility as well. Those who are listening have a responsibility, and this is what he speaks of here. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So we're going to kind of turn this around a little bit. He tells us three things that the church, or those who are listening to the preaching of the Word of God, are going to do. He says, this is what they're going to do. They will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. So he says what the hearers are going to do. So I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to tell you, don't do these things. Okay? Because that's what he's saying. You preach the word so that they don't do these things. Okay? So notice what he says here. Don't abandon truth. Don't abandon truth. That's what he says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now again, when you think back in chapter 3, we looked at what is going to happen in the last days, right? In the last days, in chapter 3, he says, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Right? So he says there's a form of godliness. And what's so dangerous is what he's referring to here in chapter 3 is not the world. The world is not going to have a form of godliness, right? The world cares nothing about God. The world has always been lovers of self and covetous boasters. So that's not something he's talking about. It's going to happen in the world in the last days. The warning is this is what's going to happen in the church in the last days. The church is going to be moving this direction. And so he gives this warning, and that's why he says, there is a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Can I say, in all across America today, there is a form of godliness going on. But here's the problem. There is an abandonment of truth. There's an abandonment of truth. And this is why Paul says here in chapter 4, he says, they will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to come a time when they don't want sound doctrine. And so I want to challenge you. I want to charge you as the church today. Don't abandon truth. Don't abandon truth. Look, last week we talked about my responsibility in preaching the word, right? But as a believer and those who are listening, don't abandon truth. You stick to the word of God. That's why he tells Timothy, preach the word. We're not preaching opinions. We're not preaching ideas. We're preaching the word of God. Can I tell you, it's sad in many, many churches today, the word of God is not being preached. Now, maybe a verse or something will be read, but it's not being preached. It's not being proclaimed. It's not being heralded as we looked at last week. It's not reproving. It's not rebuking. It's not exhorting anymore. So he says, don't abandon truth. Paul says, there will come a time when those claiming to be Christians will not endure sound doctrine. The word endure, it means to hold to or to bear with. So think about it. He says they're not going to endure. They're not going to hold to it. They're not going to bear with it. They're not going to go along with it. He's saying that Christians will no longer hold onto sound doctrine. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, we need to understand something, though. What is sound doctrine? No, it's not a music group, okay? All right? I think there is a music group called Sound Doctrine or whatever, but he's not talking about a music group, okay? What is sound doctrine? Well, when we look at Scripture, we have to understand that sound doctrine has to do with the teaching of the Word of God that has stood the test of time and is validated in Scripture. Sound doctrine. There's a lot of doctrine that is being taught in religion today but not a lot is sound doctrine. Not a lot is coming from the Word of God. That's why, again, he says back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You know where our doctrine needs to come from? It needs to come from the Word of God. That's why he says, preach the Word. Our doctrine needs to come from the Word of God. If our doctrine is not coming from this book, if our doctrine is coming from some other book, or our doctrine is coming from relatives have said, or what ancestors have said, or whatever, that's not sound doctrine. It's not sound doctrine. Sound doctrine can only come from the Word of God. Why? Because only God has the authority to tell us what we are to believe and what we are not to believe. There's a lot of religions where there's some other book or some other person that they're listening to. No, he says they are not going to endure sound doctrine. So how do we determine sound doctrine? How do we determine what sound doctrine is? Because I'm going to be very honest with you, most religions that would classify themselves as Christian say they believe this book. Most religious groups that would classify themselves under the title Christian say they believe and follow the Bible. But yet, the doctrines that they teach are not in line with Scripture. So how do we determine sound doctrine? Well, this is why it is so important. Again, remember, this is the charge to those who are listening, right? This is the charge. He says, for they will not endure sound doctrine. So how do we determine sound doctrine? I'm going to tell it very, very easy. It's very easy how to determine sound doctrine. Study the Scriptures. It's not hard to determine what sound doctrine is if we are willing to study the Scriptures. The problem comes is we don't want to study the Scriptures. We just want somebody else to tell us what the Scripture says. Friend, that's where you get into problems. That's where problems and difficulties come. We can't just depend on what someone tells us the Scripture says. Each Christian needs to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God and find out what does the Bible teach. What does Jesus say? What are the doctrines that we need to hold to? Each Christian has been given the Holy Spirit of God so that we can understand what is sound doctrine. God has given us His Holy Spirit so that we can understand the Word of God. God wants us to know His Word. Turn over with me to the book of 2 Corinthians very quickly. In the book of 2, hold your place there in 2 Timothy. We're going to come back to it. But look over with me in 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, thank you. You're supposed to hold your place in 2 Timothy. Let me make sure I got the right chapter here. Hold on. Sorry, it's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I knew there was a 2 in there somewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Think about what God says here. Look in verse number 10, right? Well, go back up to verse number 9. He says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his, what's that word? Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God says, He has many things that He wants us to know, and He is going to reveal them by His Spirit, right? God's going to reveal them to us by His Spirit, because the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He says, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Just as no one can really know you like you know you. You really know what's inside, right? You're the only one that knows what's inside. Your spouse, your husband, your wife, they really don't even know what's inside. Your children, your family, nobody knows really what's inside except you. You know what's inside. And he says, in the same way, no one can know what is inside God except the Spirit of God. We can't know God, but his spirit knows him. So watch what he says. Now, verse number 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So God says, I have given you my spirit, the spirit that knows everything there is to know about God. He says, I have given you my spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God says, here's the thing. I have given you my spirit because I want you to know me, God says. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know the deep things of God. God says, I've given you my spirit to do this. So if we're wanting to know what sound doctrine is, and we're going to get in and study the Word of God, guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to help us to know what is true and what is false. Think about some of these scriptures here. Jesus in John chapter 8, in verse number 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, many times we use this verse, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you know Jesus, you'll be able to get saved, and you'll be free from sin and death. That's great. The problem is that's not what the verse said. It's not what the verse said. It's not what the verse taught, right? Because notice who he's speaking to. He's speaking to those who have already believed. These are already believers, right? He says, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him. So they have already believed. So what is he saying? He said, you believe, but here's something. You've got to know doctrine. He says, if you really want to know doctrine, what does he say? Continue in my word. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He says, look, now that you're saved, now that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got to get in the Word of God. He says, continue in the Word. It's not just, yes, that God has given the preacher the responsibility to preach the Word of God. But look, I'm not at your house every moment of every day preaching the Word of God to you. And everybody said, yeah, that's what I thought, right? Yeah. No, I'm not. I can't be. That's not my job anyway, right? But you understand, you have the Holy Spirit of God. And people, I've heard so many times people say, well, I just can't understand the Word of God. I just don't think I can study. I mean, that's I haven't gone to Bible college. What? Who said you have to go to a Bible college to study the Word of God? I don't think that Peter and James and John ever went to a Bible college. Jesus said, you just got to continue in my Word. These believers that are here, they didn't go to some college to understand spirit. No, he just said, continue in my word. When you get in the Word of God and you search the Word of God and you study the Word of God, guess what's going to happen? He says, you'll know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from all these other things that are going on. Free from all this delusion and all this lies and everything that are happening. He says, you get in the Word of God, know his truth. John chapter 7, think about what Jesus says here. Jesus answered in verse 16 and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Think about it. Jesus said, even the things that I'm teaching, the things that I'm saying, it's not my doctrine. It's the one that sent me. It's God. This is from God. He said, he's the one that's told me what to say. I'm not just doing my own, and this is what he says. If you will do his will, ye shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or not. Look, he says, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. He says, if you do my will, you'll know the right doctrine. If we're being obedient to what God says and we're studying the Word of God, he says, you're going to know what is right doctrine. You're going to know what's sound and what's not sound. The Holy Spirit's going to help you to know those things. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus says, search the Scriptures. Get in the Word of God. Why have we simply delegated that to the pastor? Why have we just pawned it off and said, well, that's the pastor's job. He's supposed to study the Word of God. He's supposed to feed us. Well, yeah, that's true. That is my job. But it is also your job to search the Scriptures. It is also your job to study the Word of God. It's your job to do His will and to continue in His doctrine. That's every single one of us. And this is what he's saying, because if you don't stick with truth, what's going to happen? There's going to come a day when you're not going to endure sound doctrine. We're not going to stick to sound doctrine. You see, sound doctrine is important because that is what a growing Christian needs. We need sound doctrine. We need something to build our life upon. We need something to base our life upon and revolve around. It must be sound doctrine, not just the whims of the world and the whims of society. It must be sound doctrine. And that does not come from the pastor. That does not come from the church. That comes from the Word of God. That's why Paul tells Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Why? Because there's going to come a day when they will not endure sound doctrine. Look, church, can I say, can I encourage you, can I challenge you? Don't abandon truth. Don't abandon truth. So many churches are abandoning truth today, and here's why. Because they don't know what sound doctrine is. They don't know the Word of God the way God says you're supposed to know it. And so because we don't know it, somebody can come in and just tell us something, and we just believe it and go along with it without even thinking about it. Because we didn't search the Scriptures. We didn't compare what the Bible says, right? I've told you over and over and over, you take what I preach and you check it yourself and make sure it lines up with Scripture. You make sure what I'm preaching is the Word of God. Because if it's not, it's your responsibility to come and say, hey, Pastor, that wasn't biblical. What you said, that's not biblical at all. Now, I would encourage you, please do it in a kind way, right? But if I'm preaching something that's not doctrinally sound, it's not sound doctrine, you know whose responsibility it is to stop it? You. Well, but you're the pastor. You're supposed to be the man of God. Look, there's a lot of charlatans out there. There's a lot of people that are just getting up and just saying anything they want, and nobody's stopping them. Why? Well, they're the man of God. They're supposed to be the ones that know God, and they know God's will, and they know God's word. They're studying everything. Look, that's great. I'm glad they're studying. But you know whose job it is to study the Word of God too? Yours. Yours. You see, First Baptist Church will never be led into false doctrine because of the pastor. First Baptist Church will be led into false doctrine because the church is not checking to make sure it's sound doctrine. You understand what I'm saying? Oh yeah, the pastor can get up and preach false doctrine, but it's not the pastor that leads the church into false doctrine, it's the church that allows it to happen. Because we're not checking the Word of God to make sure what he's saying is true. By the way, when you know your church is going to check and make sure that what you're saying is true, it's amazing how much more you stick to the Word of God. You're going to stick to the Word of God because you know they're going to check it. Hey, I have no problem with you checking anything that I preach because I'm going to make sure it's come from the Word of God. Because I know there's some of you that are out there doing that, and that's great. There ought to be more of you. Because I know if I do something wrong, you're going to be after the service. Pastor, we might have to talk this week. I'm not sure about something you said. Hey, that's our responsibility. Don't abandon truth. Notice the second thing he says. Go back to 2 Timothy 4. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So here's the second thing he says, right? First thing he says is don't abandon truth. Would you say that with me? Don't abandon truth. One more time. Don't abandon truth. Here's the second thing he says. Don't follow your flesh. Don't follow your flesh. Look what he says. Why are they going to not endure sound doctrine? He says, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want teachers, they want preachers who will simply preach according to their carnal desires and not preach on sin. Hey, as long as a pastor stays away from my sin, you know, if he preaches, a great message, you know, if he preaches on, you know, happiness and joy and peace and prosperity and all those things, that's great. I love those type of messages, but boy, if he starts preaching on sin, man, I'm out of here. Wait a minute, hold on. Did we not forget what the purpose of the pastor was? Back up in verse number 2. To reprove and rebuke. That's one of the purposes of the... He's to preach the word, and when the word of God is preached, guess what's going to happen? It's going to step on toes. It's going to convict our heart. That's the purpose of it. Well, what happens? we start listening to our flesh. We start following our flesh. We're like, well, I just can't believe he said that. I can't believe he preached on my sin. Let me go find a place where they don't preach on sin. That's what happens. I'm going to go find a place where they don't preach on sin. Friend, can I tell you, if you're looking for a place that doesn't preach on sin, that ought to tell you something right there about your spirituality. If you're looking for a place that's not going to preach on sin, that's not going to bring conviction. Now, please understand, I'm not up here preaching on specific sins every week, right? But if I'm preaching on something and the Holy Spirit convicts you, it's not me. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit that God has given you. Why? He's trying to give you. He said, hey, what did we just read? The Spirit of God is going to convict us. He's going to help us know what is right. Hey, that's you got a problem here. You need to get it right. I don't know your sins. I don't know what you deal with. But I know who does. And I know who convicts. And I know who tries to help us get it right. It was interesting. Lifeway Research, they published an article at the beginning of this year. And they did a survey of regular attenders in churches, Christian churches. And I was kind of surprised and shocked at what they considered a regular attender. A regular attender is someone who attends a minimum of 2 times a month. That's a regular attender. That's what they're saying. A regular attender is one that attends 2 times a month. Some of you are like, boy, what church is that? I'd like to find out what that church is. 2 times a month, right? They publish an article. Over half of them said that their church teaches that God will bless them if they give more money to the church. In other words, you give more money to the church, God's going to bless you and give you more. Over half of people are saying this is what their church is teaching, which was actually up from 38% in 2017. He also says churchgoers are also more likely to say that they have to do something for God in order to receive material blessings from Him. So again, think about what they're saying. In order for God to bless, you've got to give more. Do you understand? That is called a prosperity gospel. That is a prosperity gospel message, right? You know, and that message is all over the world today. It's all over. I can remember in Uganda, guys would come in and they'd hold these big crusades and they'd be like, God wants to bless you, but you need to give, right? And if you give, $5, right? Again, to them, you have to understand, $5 to a Ugandan is quite a bit of money. If you give $5, God's going to give you $500. Well, guess what? They hear that. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to give. Why? You understand? We want things that appeal to us, right? And then he says, look, that's what's going to happen. In this last time, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to, after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We just want to appease our flesh. And he says, no. Don't follow your flesh. Don't allow your flesh to control you. Don't allow your flesh to control where you go. Look, if the word of God is convicting your heart, don't be like, well, I'm out of here. I'm not coming back next week. Maybe the attitude ought to be, Lord, what are you trying to do in my heart? Because it's not about a place. It's about what God is trying to do. We get so offended. Well, the preacher preached on my sin, or the preacher said this, or the preacher said I shouldn't do this, or the preacher said I shouldn't go here, whatever. Hey, wait a minute. It's not about it's what is God trying to do? What is God trying to do in your heart? We just want to appease our flesh. And this is what he says. That's what's going to happen. We just want teachers that have that just appeal to us. And here's an interesting word here. Did you notice this? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The word here is heap. He says they're going to heap to themselves. He says they'll heap to themselves these teachers. The word heap means to multiply. To multiply. Isn't it interesting how many of these types of preachers are popping up all over the place now? All over the place. You have preachers that are popping up that it's all about, you know, God wants to bless you and God wants, God loves you and God wants great things for you and just, you know, you know, just keep doing it, you're okay, you know, it's all this prosperity gospel, right? I remember years ago, it used to be, you know, the whole, you know, televangelist, we have a special hanky that God, that we have blessed, and if you send so much money, we're going to send you this special hanky, you know? Look, you blow your nose the same way. I don't know what's special about a hanky, right? When you blow your nose, it ain't going to be special anymore, that's for sure. What are they? It's all about money. It's all about this prosperity. You know, God wants you healthy and wealthy. Look, tell Lazarus that. The beggar Lazarus, who was laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. He was not healthy and he was not wealthy. And yet God said he was justified. It's not about just the... And that, again, that's why he's saying you've got to make sure, don't abandon truth. Don't follow your flesh. Because there's all kinds of people that are just popping up everywhere trying to just turn people from the truth of the Word of God. And watch what he says here. Notice the third thing. He says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So he says the first thing, he says what? Don't abandon truth. Second thing, he says don't follow your flesh, because he said this is what's going to happen. He's telling you what's going to happen, so I'm challenging you, don't do this, right? Don't abandon truth. Don't follow your flesh. And then notice he says don't listen to lies. Don't listen to lies. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They're just going to be turned to fables, turned to stories. He says, don't listen to their lies. What's sad today is, and I don't know people's hearts, but what's sad to me is that I hear many testimonies or whatever of pastors and churchgoers who are increasingly being aware of individuals who are what they call deconstructing their faith. I don't know if you've heard of that term, but they're deconstructing their faith. In other words, I mean pastors that have stood up and preached the Word of God, they're like, well, now I'm not sure if what I ever preached was really true or not. You know, Christians that have grown up in church and they've been, and look, I understand there can be a wrong sect. I get that, right? I understand that there are churches and there are pastors that have done wrong things and that have manipulated people and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. People that have preached the Word of God, things that we would say, hey, that's right, that's true, amen, praise God for that. And now they're saying, well, I'm just not sure if that's true. I'm not sure if we can really believe the Bible anymore. Church members that are saying, you know, I was taught the Word of God for many years, but now as I'm getting old, I'm just not sure if I can really believe the Word of God. I'm not sure if what God says is true. And they have this term, they're deconstructing their faith. It's kind of a woke thing that's going on now. Again, I understand there is church hurt. I get that. I understand. But can I tell you something? When you are built on sound doctrine, there's never going to be a time in your life where like, I'm just not sure if this Bible is true. No, you know the Word of God is true. God says it, right? We know sound doctrine only comes from the Word of God. And when we go in and we study it and we search it out, we're going to find out exactly what God says is true. But now you have guys, again, they're trying to twist Scripture. They're using Scripture, but they're not really preaching sound doctrine. There's all kinds of people coming up, right? I mean, you've got all these big famous preachers. You know, obviously you've got Joel Osteen and all these guys. And, of course, even Joel Osteen says, everybody's going to make it to heaven. We're all just going different ways. Can I say, that's not Bible. I don't care how big of a church he has. That's not scriptural. That does not line up with scripture. That is not sound doctrine. Oh, but look at all the people that are coming to his church. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they will, after their own lust, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what? I don't want it just to be one way. I want it to be, you know, I want to be able to do what I want and get to heaven the way I want. And so I'm going to find a preacher that's going to preach that. Look, friend, it doesn't matter what a preacher preaches. What matters is what does God say? What does God say? So don't listen to lies. There's another guy, Andrew Farley, who's kind of pretty popular now, but he's made this statement. He says, Christians won't struggle with sin because of their old nature or self after salvation. I'm like, excuse me? Christians aren't going to struggle with sin because of their old self? That's what he says. Christians won't struggle with sin because of their old self within. He said, the moment we enter into Christ at salvation, our old self is obliterated. Well, that sounds really cool. Man, that means after I get saved, I'm never going to struggle with sin. My old self is obliterated. Well, that's funny because Paul says in Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you not fulfill the lust of the... Oh, wait a minute, I thought the old flesh was obliterated. I thought I wasn't going to struggle with sin anymore. You see, what happens is people say things, they're like, oh, that sounds really good, that's what I want, but it doesn't line up with Scripture. And they get followings and lots, oh man, this is really good. I've never heard anybody explain the Bible like this before. This is so amazing. But the problem is, it's not sound doctrine. I don't know what it is about religious teaching, but it's like it's exploded. I don't know if it's because of now with the internet or things like this, but I mean, it's just, I mean, you can find anybody anywhere and listen to anything you want now. I mean, I can't tell you all the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that follow me and listen to my preaching. Why are some of you laughing? Right? Well, I don't know. No, I never thought I'd be a televangelist, but after COVID and we started live stream, like, woo, I'm a televangelist now, right? But you can get on YouTube and you can get on these places and you can find anybody that's going to say anything. But what you have to be careful of is, are they sticking to sound doctrine or are they just trying to make it sound good so that you follow them? Because here's the thing, they're not concerned about you. Can I tell you, a person that says that you can get to heaven, everybody's going to go to heaven, we're just going different ways, is not concerned about you. They're not concerned about you. They don't care whether you die and go to hell or not. You say, how can you say that? Because God says there's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And for them to come out and say, oh, everybody's going to get there, we're all just going different ways, they care nothing about whether a person dies and goes to hell. All they care about is, are people following me? Are people coming to my church? Am I getting the offerings? That's all they care about. We have people that are preaching complete opposite of what Scripture says. Oh, yeah, when you get saved, your old flesh is obliterated. You're never going to have a problem with sin again in your life. You know what that begins to do? That begins to teach people, well, maybe I didn't get saved then because I thought I got saved, but now I'm still having problems with sin and I can't seem to get victory over this, so maybe I didn't get saved. And they're like, okay, now I'm going to need to get saved again. And so they think they get saved again. They're like, well, boy, I'm still having problems with my flesh here and I'm still having problems. Maybe I didn't get saved the second time either. We're causing doubt and confusion now. Why? Because we're not sticking to sound doctrine. We're not sticking to the Word of God. And this is why Paul says, hey, Timothy, my charge to you is to preach the word. You preach the word. Let it rebuke. Let it reprove. Exhort. Because there's going to come a day when they'll abandon truth. There's going to come a day when they're just going to follow their flesh. There's going to come a day when they're just going to listen to the lies. They're not going to listen to truth. They're just going to listen to lies and stories. And he says, you preach the word. And in the same way that Paul says, Timothy, you preach the word, and that challenge is given to the preachers, the challenge is also given to the church and those listening. Hey, don't abandon truth. Don't abandon truth. I don't care if it's me or if it's somebody else that gets up here, but they start preaching something that's not sound doctrine, they start preaching something that's not according to the word of God, you better get rid of them. You get rid of them. I don't care if it's me. If I get up here and I start preaching false doctrine, you get rid of me. Because that's exactly what God says is going to happen. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. Don't just, well, he's the pastor and, you know, we just love his family so much, you know, and everything. Hey, if it's wrong, it's wrong. It's wrong. It doesn't matter how much you love the family or whatever. It's wrong. Take care of it. Don't abandon truth. But don't follow your flesh. Don't just look for something that's appealing to the flesh. Don't just look for a place, oh, they're not going to preach on sin. They're just going to make me feel really good. Man, I'm telling you, I go there when I leave, I just feel amazing. I just feel so good. I think I can go out and conquer the world today. And then what happens on Monday? You go to work and you crash. And you're like, well, that didn't work. Yeah, because it's not about the flesh. It's about the Spirit of God working in our life and following Him. Don't follow your flesh. And don't listen to the lies. Don't listen to stories. That's what he says. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth. They're going to totally close off. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. La, la, la. You ever kids done that to you? You're like talking to them. You know they're just like in their mind. Maybe not physically, but in their mind. They're like, la, 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 la. I don't want to listen. So that's what they're going to do. And so what does Timothy say, or Paul say? Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't abandon truth. Don't follow your flesh. Don't listen to lies. Hey, this is the charge that he gives. Look, I don't know how close we are to the last days. I know we're closer today than we were last week. No doubt about that. I know we're closer and closer to the last days. And it becomes so easier to turn away from truth. It becomes much easier to follow the flesh. It becomes much easier to listen to the lies and the stories. Well, they sound good. Can I tell you something? Look over with me to Romans chapter 16 real quick. Look in Romans chapter 16. Notice what he says. Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Stay away from them. Hey, can I tell you something? If you know that there's somebody that's teaching false doctrine, don't be like, well, I just want to listen a little bit more. No, stay away from them. Well, I'm just gonna find out a little bit more. No, stay away from them. He says, avoid them. Why? Because the more you listen, the more you're going to be tempted, like, well, maybe they're right. Well, that does sound really good. Wait a minute. No, no. He says, don't abandon truth. He says, if they are teaching and preaching contrary to doctrine which you have learned, mark them, avoid them. Watch. Why? For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. So they don't serve the Lord, but by their own belly and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. He said, all they're concerned about is themselves. Oh, do they sound good? Absolutely. By good words and fair speeches. Kind of sounds a little bit similar back to what he says in 2 Timothy, huh? Their fables, they're going to listen to fables, lies, instead of listening to truth. Don't abandon the truth. Don't follow your flesh. Don't listen to lies. You stick to the Word of God. You get in the Word of God. You study it. You know what the Bible says so that when you hear it, when you hear false doctrine, when you hear that which is false, you'll be able to know, hey, that's not right. That doesn't line up with Scripture. The Holy Spirit's telling me that. It's not in Scripture. We're going to stick with the Word of God. We're going to stick with the Word of God because that's where our final authority is. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord. Lord, it's so important that even as those that listen to the Word of God being preached, Lord, there's a challenge and a charge to us as well. That we would not abandon truth. Not just to follow our flesh and seek something that just appeases us and makes us feel happy and feel good. But Lord, that would convict us and help us to do what is right. Convict us to help us to follow you. Not just to listen to the lies and the stories and fables, but Lord, to truly desire to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I know my responsibility is to preach the word. But Lord, those that are listening have a responsibility as well to be careful not to abandon truth, not just to seek to follow their flesh and not to follow lies. Lord, help us to be careful what we're listening to. Help us to be careful who we're following. May we stick to the word of God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning, maybe there's somebody here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. You know, I thought everybody was going to heaven, everybody's going just different ways. I didn't know there was only one way. I'm not even sure if I'm saved, Pastor. But I would like to know more about how to be saved. I'd like to know more about how my sins can be forgiven, and that I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Friend, if that's you, we'd love to pray for you this morning. My prayer can't save you, but I'd love to pray for you and pray that God would work in your heart. And if you'd be honest with God and honest with me, nobody else is looking around, but you just say, Pastor, that's me. If you just slip your hand up and put it right down, I'd like to pray for you. Just right now, slip your hand up, put it right back down. Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. But I would like to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure where I'd go if I died. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Christian, can I ask you, did that charge, did it speak to our heart? Did it help us to say, hey, you know what? I want to make sure that I don't abandon truth. I want to make sure that I'm sticking to sound doctrine. I don't want just to listen to somebody that's going to make me feel good, but I need the convicting of the Word of God. I don't want to just follow my flesh. I don't want to just listen to the lies and stories. I need to listen to the Word of God and allow God to speak to my heart. Because if you're sitting there this morning, you're like, ah, that doesn't really matter. You know, it doesn't really matter if the truth is said. It doesn't really matter, all these different things. Friend, there's a serious problem right there. If we're not willing to stick to truth and what God has for us, there's a serious issue, a heart issue. I wonder what God would have for you this morning. Maybe this morning you just need to say, Lord, I need you to help me to follow exactly what you just said in your word today. I don't want to abandon truth. I don't want to just follow my flesh. Lord, I want to be convicted. I need to be convicted. And so, Lord, I'm telling you, if there's something in my life that needs to be changed or something, Lord, here I am. You do what you need to do in my heart and my life to help me to be what you want me to be. Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning. We would allow you to work. Convict where we need to be convicted. Lord, to study the Word of God together. Not just the pastor, the teachers, but Lord, every person studying the Word of God. Digging and getting in and studying it, knowing what is true and what is false. Father, would you help us in these things? In Jesus' name we pray. We'll just stand together quietly with our heads bound and our eyes closed. The piano is just going to begin playing softly this morning. Maybe this morning there's something that God has spoken to your heart about. Maybe you've kind of sacrificed truth. You're like, oh, I'm just not sure if truth is really important. Maybe you've been listening to your flesh instead of listening to the Word of God. But don't follow your flesh. It's going to lead you astray. I tell you, you can trust the Word of God. I didn't say trust Pastor Andrew. I didn't say trust First Baptist Church. No, I said you can trust the Word of God. You can trust God's Word. Maybe some need to stop listening to these teachers and preachers that are just telling us, hey, you're a pretty good person. Listening to their lies and their stories. Realizing they're leading us away from truth. They're leading us away from what God has said. How will you respond to the preaching of the Word of God?